It's great to see everybody. Welcome to the Bible class of the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. We're beginning today a series of three classes on children in the church. Following these three classes, we're going to have for the parents of the young children, anybody from fifth grade on down, the parents of those children will have a breakout class, which to be in a location to be announced later. But it'll be at Meadow Creek in this facility at this time slot. So it'll be starting at 10 o'clock. And that class will be more of an interactive talking, conversational thing where we'll work through how can we help you with your parenting. Today, the class is for the whole church, and there's a big reason for that, which will become clear as we go forward. But this is for everybody. Everything we're going to be talking about here applies to everybody in the church at all age levels, all demographic groups. It's all in the Bible, and we're going to talk about that. Before we get started, let's have a prayer. Father in heaven, we do love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for giving us the church, for giving us your word. We thank you for our families. Father, we thank you for many, many ways you bless us with things that we don't deserve. Father, I pray that as we look at your word today, Father, first I pray that we are grateful for your word. Father, that we are devoted to it and that we will put what we read in it into practice in our lives. Father, help me as I teach today to present your word in the way you want it presented. Help us to hear your voice in the things that we hear. And Father, help us to take this home with us and raise our kids in the way that you want us to do that. Help us to learn how to be your children and your family. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, children in the church. I guess the guys in the booth know that we don't have the slides up yet. So I'll go ahead and begin. Basically, what we're doing is this is the beginning of a three-week series on children in the church. This first week is going to be titled Seven Principles for Godly Children. And those are principles that apply not only to the parents, not only to the children, but also to everybody in the congregation. We all have a role in raising the children of this congregation. We'll be talking about that for the next 3 weeks. The second class will be titled Worshiping with Children. We do things a little bit differently in this congregation from some of our sister congregations, and we bring the children into the worship service, and there's a reason for that. I believe that it's biblical. We will present all of that, the case for that next week, and talk about the purpose of it and how to be effective with it. And so let me catch us up. My clicker. Okay, wait. Okay. I'm not clicking yet. There we go. Okay, we're talking about worshiping with children. So basically, that's going to be the second week. And when we get there, again, we're going to be talking about why we bring the children into the worship services here and how to make that constructive for the whole family. We have a new sermon. Should I start talking about Hebrews? I don't have that slide on my laptop. Oh, here we go. There we go. So we're having fun. Anyway, worshiping with children, it's a big deal. I want you to get that. We'll be talking about that next week. I can't really wait to get into it, and I'll probably talk a little bit about it here. But it's a really important part of how we're raising our children to be godly. And then the third class will be on the subject of what Jesus said about children. There's quite a bit that Jesus said. I mean, I'm sure you could list off several of the things, hopefully a lot of these things. But we're going to be looking at those and see what are the implications of these things for the whole church. You know, there's implications for parents, there's implications for children, there's implications for every Christian in the church. And so we're going to look at what Jesus said to us about children. So that's where we're headed. And So to open up our talk today on children in the church, I'm going to read something Jesus said starting in Mark 10, verse 13. Mark 10, 13. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. So the picture we have here, what was happening, Jesus' disciples were rebuking the parents who were bringing their children to be blessed by Jesus. Okay, why do you suppose the disciples thought that was the thing they ought to do, is to prevent the children from coming to Jesus when he was in those settings? Why do you suppose that the disciples, the 12, why were they thinking that they ought to send these people away with their children? That's a question you can answer. Oh, yes, Jeff. Okay, yeah. An overblown sense of their own importance. I think that's possible. Yes, I'm in the middle of the auditorium. I can't see. Maybe they thought the gospel was just for men, or maybe just for adults, right? Okay. Back. Okay, I think that's probably what was the reality. I don't think it was intended to be that way by God, but that was the reality. The kids were not viewed as being that important in that culture at that time. That's possible. Yes. Okay. Yes, the disciples didn't want these children to waste Jesus' time. He had an important job to do. And they felt like bringing the children here was getting in the way. They obviously had some confused ideas about what Jesus was here to do. But they, in some way, felt like the kids were getting in the way of that. So, how did Jesus feel about that? I mean, it's really one word here, right? He was indignant. Okay? What does it mean to be indignant? Yes. I'm sorry.
Appalled.
Okay, appalled. He saw this as being far removed, way away from what ought to be. This was not a little mistake. This was a big mistake, right? Okay, anything else? Yes. Righteous anger. Okay, yes. Some of the translations actually say here anger. He was angry. Okay. I think the idea was Jesus saw what his disciples were doing. He says, you don't even have a clue about what you ought to be doing here. That's what it was. That was kind of what that indignant. That's one way of describing it, I think. He was indignant. And let me just give you a little help here. I'll try to make this helpful to you. Try not to do things that make Jesus indignant. That's one of my policies of my life. I try not to do things that make Jesus indignant. Okay? Don't be like the disciples were here. Okay? So, what does that mean then? Therefore, if I'm going to try to avoid going down the path these disciples went down, what's that going to mean for me? Okay? Let's notice a few things. Okay? Notice a few things. Okay, first off, Jesus. Who was Jesus? He was single, right? He didn't have any children of his own. He was not married, didn't have a wife, didn't have children. Not only was he single, but he was pretty busy. He was doing some important things, right? He had a job to do, and, yet Jesus thought these children were worth his time. Okay, these children were worth his time. Even though he was a single man, they were somebody else's kids. All right? Now, not only that, all but one of his disciples were also single, right? As far as we know. Peter had a mother-in-law, so he had a wife, right? But the rest of the disciples, the rest of the 12, were single, as far as we can tell. At least they didn't have children of their own, right? Okay, so all but one of the disciples were single without, and none of them had their own children. Okay, so, and yet Jesus expected what? He wanted all of them to have time for the children. Okay, so are you more like the disciples or are you more like Jesus? Okay, on this occasion. Now, of course, the disciples learned a lot over time. I'm sure they were different by Acts chapter 2. But Jesus expected those single men to have time for the children. He had time for the children. He wanted them to be like him. Okay, he wants you and me to be like him. How much time do you give to the children of this congregation? You know, the people, the children of other people's children. All right. So who is this class for? All right. First off, it's for the families. Okay, if you're a head of a family, if you are in a family with children, this is for you. We're going to talk to you about how your household ought to conduct itself in order to take care of the children that God has given to that family. Okay, so that's what this is for, and this is for everybody in that family. It's not just for the parents. Okay, this class is for the singles. Like I said, Jesus was single. These were concerns he had. He wanted his disciples, his single disciples, to have those same concerns. And he wants singles in this church to have those same concerns. Okay? It's for empty nesters. You know, maybe you've already, you know, you could say, I've served my time raising children, you know. I have an empty nest now. But, you know, you've got some experiences. You've learned some things along the way. Maybe things you did well, maybe things that you wish you had done better. Okay, but you've learned a lot. You have a lot of wisdom as an empty nester who can help, which your wisdom can help some young parent to do a better job raising their children. And you can be spiritual grandparents. You can be a spiritual uncle or aunt. You can be a big brother. There's a lot of ways that you can serve. So this class is for you. Okay, there's nobody in the church, nobody who hears this message who can't be a part of this, what we're talking about here. Children in the church, okay, and we all have a role in that. Basically, it comes down to loving other people's kids. You know, some of us, you know, hopefully all of us would love to lead somebody, maybe a coworker or a neighbor, to the Lord, right? Anybody that doesn't want to do that? I mean, I hope we all do. And, you know, and I think that we all are in a position where we can. But, you know, don't pretend that you love that person you met at the grocery store, but you don't love the children in our own congregation. Okay? I urge you to make a priority of taking care of especially the children in your house. Okay? And I know that we do. We all love our children. But you know, and what we're going to be talking about here, I know we're all very busy people. We all have a lot of responsibilities. It's just really hard to get everything done that we need to get done in life. And it's especially hard to get everything that's needed for our children with all the other competing things. We're going to talk more about that as we go through the 3 weeks and then into the breakout stuff that follows. But you know, we're going to hopefully help you to choose the important things first. You know, you won't get everything on your list every day, but hopefully the most important things will get done first. You know, so whenever you run out of time, you can sit down and put your head on the pillow knowing that you did the most important things. And you did the things that matter the most. So I hope this is going to help with that. So this class is going to be talking about Seven principles for godly children from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 7. Okay, we're going to pick up seven principles from Deuteronomy. This is God's word. So these are, I hope you believe this. If we're reading this in the Bible, this is the ultimate secret to raising godly children. This is the word of God. This is God's advice, God's guidance, God's instructions for raising your children. And there is no better place to go. You can't find a better book on the bookshelf of any bookstore. You can't find a better book to read than Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 7 to show you how to raise your children and how to conduct. And it's not just about how to raise your children. It's how to conduct your own life and your own household, whether or not you have children in it. We're going to talk about a lot of things that God calls us to do. And I want you to get this point from the beginning. The point is not you need to do these things so that your children will turn out right. You need to do this because you need a relationship with God. Okay? If you do these things, you have a relationship with God, that will influence your children in a phenomenal way. If you don't get these things, do these things for the right reason, then you're kind of wasting your time because the kids will see through that. We'll talk more about that. So let's go into Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Okay, so, you know, he wants you to obey these things so that you, your children, and their children after them. First off, this is for you. You know, this is so that you may fear the Lord and so that you may keep all his decrees and commands, and that so that you may enjoy long life, okay? So you, but it's also for your children, right? That's what we're here to talk about mostly today, but for their children. You know, I'm a grandparent. It's really important to me how my grandchildren turn out. You know, I really want them to turn out well. My children have turned out pretty well. You know, we all have our, you know, gaps, but we've, you know, my wife and I really care about our grandchildren, and we're really wanting to spend time and help them to become disciples too. So the things we're talking about here are for the generations, to pass it down. Imagine if your children and their children all become Christians and all serve the Lord in a godly way. You know, that's the goal. That's what God wants. He says so right here. Okay, so the first step, the first principle is love the Lord your God. Verse 3, hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. You ever heard that before? Of course, you know, that's the greatest commandment, right? And this is where it comes from. Love the Lord your God. That's the first principle. If you want to have a godly household, you start with loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Okay? We talk about that. We think about that. What have I just done? I've got behind. That's what's happened. So basically, you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and all your strength. That means that everything you do, you're doing with God in mind. God is a part of everything you do. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. 1 Corinthians 10:31 gives you, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So, you know, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, basically you're doing everything you do for the glory of God because you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. All of your energy, all of your strength is going into serving God. Okay? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay? So that was point number one, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, saturate your home with the Scriptures. Okay, verse 6. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Okay? That means that you think about them. You meditate on them. You're memorizing Scripture. That means the Scriptures are in your heart, in your mind throughout the day. They are to be on your hearts. Verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk down along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. You know, this is something that was a reality in our house when we were raising our kids. The Bible was never far away. Whatever came up in conversation, frequently we were turning to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say about this? You know, something came up at school. You know, the Bible, we turned to the Bible. You know, we talked about what the Bible says about this situation. We talked about, then wherever we were, whether it came up at the dinner table, whether it came up driving down the road. We talked about them when we lie down, when we get up. We played Scripture games in the car as we were driving to grandmother's house. It was about a four-hour trip. And so we had lots of Bible games we played. And we'll talk more about that. You can make up your own games. But the point is that the Bible was infused into everything we did. He says, verse 8, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Do you have some plaques on the wall in your house with Scriptures? How many of you have some of those? Okay. It's a great thing, basically, you can look around the walls of somebody's house. You can look at the books on their table. You can look at, you can walk in and you can get a vibe that these people love God. They love His Word. God's Word is on their hearts. It's on their walls. It's on their, all their stuff. All of this is basically showing that they're devoted to it. Impress them on your children. Okay? It's not talking about get a branding iron and brand on them, children obey your parents in the Lord. Not that kind of impress your children. But you want your children to be brought up with the Scriptures. So you're talking about these things everywhere you go in every life situation. Okay? And again, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You want it to be everywhere. The scriptures are part of everything that you do in your house. Every day of the week, not just Sunday, not just Thursday or Wednesday, or whatever day you do it. Remember the Lord. This is number three. Starting in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. When the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Okay? We all have houses that are filled with things we did not provide. How many people here have a cell phone? Okay, if you're not raising your hand, I wonder. Okay, how many of you have air conditioning in your house? How many of you have indoor plumbing? How many of you have HVAC? How many of you have refrigerators? How many of you have transportation? There used to be this TV show, I think it may still be on, called Survivor Man. You ever watch that? It's this guy that goes out into the wilderness and spends a week, videotaping himself while he basically lives off of whatever he can catch, kill, he eats lizards, he starts fire with sticks, he just finds ways to survive in the wilderness. Suppose you were Survivor Man. You're on a desert island trying to eke out a survival. How long would it be before you had a cell phone? You would never have a cell phone. Okay. How long before you had indoor plumbing? I mean, it's tough enough just to have indoors, right? Much less plumbing. But not only indoor plumbing, air conditioning, refrigerator. You would not have any of those things. And yet, you have all those things in your house, don't you? Your house is filled with things that you did not produce, you could not produce. God has blessed you with them, okay? He's blessed all of us with it. And so, we have things that, all this stuff that God has provided for us. And what he's saying to us here is just make sure those things don't distract us from God. Verse 13, he says, "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only." Not your cell phone, not the internet, not your friends on the internet. You're serving God. Take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Okay? Those things, those other things that you have, it's easy to forget the Lord. Think, well, I don't need him. Look at all these things that I've got. But remember, he's the one that gave them to you, right? And if you do that, if you forget, if you don't remember the Lord in your good times, what does it say he's going to do here? It says his anger is going to burn against you. Okay, here's some more advice for you. You don't want God's anger to burn against you, right? Okay, this is the words of God. That's what he has told us. We need to make sure that we stay focused on serving God and not distracted by all those things that he has given us, okay? And, he will destroy you from the face of the land, You don't want God destroying you from the face of the land. You want to make sure that you remember the Lord. That's point three. Okay. Point four, obey. Okay. And, that one's not real complicated, but it's real hard, isn't it? Okay. Deuteronomy 6:16. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah, but be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you and that you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. So, this is pretty simple. When you read something in the Bible, you're devoted to it, it's all over your walls, you know what it says, now do it, right? That's what he's saying here. You don't put him to the test, say, what if I don't do this? Maybe he won't destroy me. Maybe he's not all that serious about this one, okay? If he said it, he's serious about it. So, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you. So again, this is how to build a godly life, a godly household, also how to lead your children. Your children know whether you're obeying this stuff or not, don't they? They know whether you take this stuff seriously. They know whether when you hear a sermon, you go home, do you talk about it? Does it change anything in your household? Do you hear somebody talking, the sermon on, let's go invite our neighbors to church? Do you go home and talk to your kids? Say, we all heard that today. Let's go invite our neighbors to church. And go do that with your kids. That's how you obey and you show your obedience to your children. When you see something in the Bible, when you do something that's wrong and then you you're correcting yourself or somebody is correcting you with the scriptures, do you let your children see your repentance? Because I want to obey. It makes it real. There's this fallacy that we think, okay, I can't let my children know that I ever sin. They already know that you sin. They know it. You can't hide it. Okay? What they don't know is whether you repent. You need to show them that you repent. You need to confess, and with discretion. But you need to confess, like if you lose your temper with your kids, you need to go back to them and say, I am sorry, that was wrong. Here's where the Bible says that's wrong, and I'm not going to do that again, and I'm sorry, okay? That's healthy for your kids. Of course, it assumes that you're actually going to follow through and not do that again, right? Okay, but you need to not do that again. But you need to let them see you repent. Okay, and that repentance starts with that confession that I'm sorry. But then it's also carried through in actually repenting. Okay, so we need to be sure to keep those commands the Lord's given to us. And our kids will know if we do. Okay? So number five is make the scriptures practical. Okay? Make the scriptures practical. Deuteronomy 6:20. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Okay, so basically, when they ask you, tell them, have an answer. Okay, now our answer will be a little different from this one. I don't think any of us were slaves in Egypt, but we have. God has done something for you, right? We can answer this question with, here's what God's done in my life. Here's how He's changed my life. Here's how He's blessed me in many ways, and blessed you and me and our household. Here's how God has blessed us. So, you're living your life in front of them. They're seeing all these things that, why do we go to church? Why did the preacher say these things? Why does the Bible say these things? Be ready to answer those things. Help them to understand who God is and why He says what He says and why we obey them, why we take it seriously. I mean, it all goes back to, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? So, He is who He is. We are who we are. We are just creatures that He created. Here's why we do the things we do. And God is good to us. He blesses us. So that's be sure you're making the scriptures practical. This is what it means in our life. Okay. So number six is come out from them and be separate. This is tough, all right? This is where the rubber meets the road. Deuteronomy 7:1. When the Lord your God brings you out of the land you're entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them, and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against who? The Lord's anger will burn against you and quickly destroy you. Okay? Do not intermarry with them, he says. This is a tough thing. You want to the extent that you have control over the matter, you need to make sure that your kids don't become interested in marrying someone who doesn't love God. Okay, somebody who's not a Christian. If you wanted this to be passed down to your children and to their children, imagine what that household is going to be like. If the two parents are not on the same page, or even worse, if the two parents are on the wrong page, right? So you want to set up opportunities for your children to marry people who also share the convictions about loving and obeying God. Okay, and again, it's you, the parent, that God's anger will burn against if you participate in making that happen. Okay. So, coming out and being separate still. Verse 5. This is what you're to do to them, to those, to the world. Basically, the things of the world, the love, the principles of the world, the things that you're not supposed to love, okay? This is what you're to do to them. Break down their altars. Smash their sacred stones. Cut down their Asherah poles and burn their idols in the fire. For you are people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. So, you know, the challenge of the Christian household, whether you have children or not, but especially if you have children, the challenge is to keep the world out. That's going to be your challenge, your primary concern for the rest of your parenthood, if you're a parent, is to keep the world out of the life of your children. That's tough. Okay, especially if mom and dad have full-time jobs, the kids are into school all day. There's a lot of challenges there. We'll be talking about addressing those challenges more in the breakout groups for the young, for the parents. But I want to urge you. This is not just for the parents. Okay, you singles, get the worldly stuff out of your house. Okay, But also, especially for the parents, you know, there is a limit to how cool a Christian's kids can be. You know, things that are cool in the world's eyes, there's just a lot of that stuff that you can't be a part of. You know, what are cool lyrics and songs? What's a cool vocabulary? What kind of language is in that kind of vocabulary? What's the cool music? Christian, there is such a thing as Christian cool, I think, but it's limited. You don't lie, cheat, or steal. You treat people the way they ought to be treated. You treat people with respect. You try to live a godly life. That at least gets you some respect. But it doesn't reach the level of God of worldly cool, so you've got to go ahead and get comfortable with the idea that your kids are not going to be cool in the worldly sense. Your goal is for them to be respected for the right things, okay? And that's true with you too, by the way. No Christian can be cool in the world's eyes. There's a limit to how far you can go with that. You just have to be comfortable with that. Some of the things that we believe are uncool in the world. Some of the things we teach, some of the ways we practice in the teachings of the Bible are uncool in the world's eyes. You got to be okay with that. Okay. And number 7, do not love the things of the world. Okay. Verse 25. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver and gold on them. Do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. Whoa. Regard it as vile and utterly detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. Okay. I mean, those are some strong words. Okay, do not bring a detestable thing into your house. How do detestable things come into our houses?
TV.
Okay. Steve? Oh, telephone. Cell phone. Internet. Any kind of way you get on the internet. It comes in. Sometimes it comes in from your kids when they come back from school, doesn't it? Okay. And that's where you need to bail out the boat. They've been out there absorbing the world. When they get home, you got to bail out the boat, get that swamp water out of the boat so they can go back and their boat will float tomorrow. You need to not allow a detestable thing in your house. Okay? There are consequences. There's a warning here. You, like it, will be set apart for destruction. It's a serious business. Okay? So godly parenting. Godly parenting. I'm going to look at a passage in Joshua now. What we've been looking at in Deuteronomy was part of Moses' final sermon before he left this earth, before he died, and before they entered the promised land, Israel entered the promised land. In Joshua 24, we have the next great leader of God's people, just before he died, giving his last message to the church, or to the people of God. And verse 15, he says this: "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors, the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Okay? You know, Joshua took a stand here. He says, you know, you guys, you make a decision for your house. This is what my house is going to do. And he calls them to make that same stand. You know, you can take a stand for your house, just like Joshua did, right? You know, do you take that stand? Do you say, as for me and my house, we won't have that kind of language in our house. We won't see that kind of stuff on our TV screens, our computer screens. You know, we won't go those kinds of places. We won't do those kinds of things. We will, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay? There's just a lot of things that are going on in the world around us that we can't allow into our house. That's what godly parenting looks like. Have the backbone to take a stand for your house. Okay? You know, we've talked about here seven principles for godly children. It's really seven principles for a godly house, whether you have children or not. God expected everybody in Israel to hear this sermon and to obey the things in it. Okay, and that's for every one of us. You know, some of us, you know, as we get into the parenting parts, you know, we've got all kinds of situations in the church here. We've got people with mixed marriages. We've got single moms. We've got families with children. We have empty nesters. We have all kinds of situations. But there's something in what we've talked about today that you need to take home, that every one of us needs to take home. You know, we're all part of this. We're all in this together with our children. Okay? The seven principles. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're not going to do that, none of the rest of it will work. Okay? You start there with yourself, your own heart, your own love for the Lord. You saturate your home with the Scriptures. You saturate your life with the Scriptures. They're in your heart and they come out. Whenever you're talking about whatever you're talking about, they're in there. Okay? You remember the Lord in good times and bad. You remember when things get good, you remember who gave you those good things. You don't get distracted by the things you have and kept away from obeying the Lord and loving the Lord. Okay, number four was obey. It's not just know these things, it's do them. Let your children see that you're doing them. Let them do them with you. Okay, it's training them in the same things you're training yourself in to obey God. Number five, make the Scriptures practical in your home. Apply them to daily life with your children, with your family, with your neighbors, with everybody you talk to. Let the Scriptures be present. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, right? Okay. Number six, come out from them and be separate. There's got to be a boundary. There's got to be a distinction. Your house has to look different from your neighbor's house in all kinds of different ways that we've talked about. Come out from them and be separate. Don't be like your neighbors. Okay? And number seven, do not love the things of this world. Satan is after you. He's also after your kids. Okay? We've got to have our guard up, and we've got to be working towards taking those things out of our lives so that we can have godly children, godly households, and so we can have a healthy relationship with a holy God. Thank you so much for your attention. We will begin next week. Next week we will be talking about the children in the church service. Thank you very much.